Jeffries is a feminist scholar, political activist, and for the last 20 years, a professor in political science at the University of Melbourne in Australia. Her most recent book is The Industrial Vagina, published by Routledge in 2009, which describes the globalization of the sex industry. This summer, Sheila Jeffries attended the Women's World Conference in Ottawa. Sheila, why did you decide to look at strip clubs as being harmful to women?
I've had a long feminist career in which I have been involved in campaigning against the sex industry and understanding the sex industry in all of its forms to be harmful to women, against pornography and for the abolition of prostitution. I'm involved in the Coalition Against Trafficking in Women. But the reason why I've chosen in the last few years to concentrate a little on strip clubs is that strip clubs have been ignored, really, because what's happened in the last 20 years or so is that strip clubs have been normalized and seen as simply entertainment, and there hasn't been any rigorous critique of them. In fact, many people don't seem to understand the role of strip clubs in the promotion of prostitution and how it leads to prostitution.
Well, strip clubs were never taken seriously, were they?
No, I think stripping as a form of entertainment for men has been mocked a little bit. It's not seen as serious, but in fact it is serious. If you look at Asian countries, for instance, you find that women dancing for men is a prelude to prostitution in all of them. And indeed in many of those countries, women are not allowed to dance in other ways because it's considered to be lewd for women to dance. The only way in which they're supposed to dance is as an introduction to prostitution. The men choose them and use in prostitution the ones they have chosen. Now, that's very general across Asia. If we're talking about Japan and geishas, many other countries in Asia, that is the common practice, Philippines and so on. Stripping is, in fact, very much connected with prostitution and always has been, but in the West and in countries like Britain and so on, it has been seen as somehow separate. Before the 1980s, strip was nonetheless seen as seedy, bit of a joke, but seedy. And it took place in particular pubs where there might be stripping or in red light areas. It was not respectable. It wasn't a part of ordinary society. But in the 1980s, the strip club industry was normalized. Now, strip clubs mainly came from, in the States, they were set up by men who had run dirty movie theaters, and they diversified into setting up strip clubs. And the first one in the States is supposed to have been set up in 1987 that was a gentleman's club, so-called. The idea being that it wouldn't just be seedy and something that men in dirty macs would go to, but that it would be respectable for the executives of corporations and such to attend and to do their business through. And of course, the name is very deliberate. Gentlemen's clubs have always been for men to exclude women, network between themselves and do their business with each other. And the strip clubs became the new venue in which that was possible. Women to be there were supposed to be naked and available to the men, and the men did the business through use of the women's bodies, which has been a common practice, but it's becoming more and more of a common practice.
There's also the argument, isn't there, that this is artistic in some way?
Unfortunately, even within feminism, there is a deliberate movement to try and make strip respectable. There are so-called feminist scholars who argue that stripping is empowering, a form indeed of artistic endeavour, a form of artistic dancing that can allow women to express their sexuality. And this is commonly made. A lot of young women in women's studies and gender studies programmes in Western countries will receive this as pretty much a dogma. There will be very little criticism of stripping.
What's your argument against stripping?
I argue against those who would say that it is simply a form of empowerment in which women can express their agency, because this word agency is used a lot, that we need to look at not only what happens to women precisely within the clubs, but we need to look at the context in which these women are supposedly expressing their agency. Context or structure in which they're able to do what they do is crucial. So we need to understand stripping as a massive, abusive industry founded on misogyny, a patriarchal industry in which women gain very little of the money that is circulating. I've looked at strip clubs, particularly through their strip magazines. The owners of the strip club industry set up special magazines where they give each other advice on how to fight legal suits, and they do all of the news that's going on in the industry, new things they can do, and also attract women to stripping. There's Adult Video News, which is American, which is mainly a pornography site, but also has lots of information about strip. And because strip and pornography are pretty much part of the same industry now. The same owners and the same women are involved in the strip clubs as are in the pornography. So there's a great deal of information out there to tell us what actually goes on in strip clubs, although there's been extremely little, as I say, critical feminist research. The research that's been done has tended to be by women who are sort of PhD students and do stripping while they're doing their PhD and interview the men at the same time. So there hasn't been critical research. What we see when we look at the industry more generally is that strip clubs, like the pornography industry, have a great deal of involvement of organized crime. And sometimes I simply call stripping getting naked for organized crime and say to people, how can that be empowering? I mean, when you think about it, getting naked is something that is imposed upon people to disempower them. When boys at public schools take the trousers off other boys, they're disempowering them, not empowering them. So we need to understand stripping as the way in which a whole class of people, that is women, is disempowered for the power of those who keep their clothes on, which are the men. I mean, it's very straightforward, really, and how anybody could make a mistake about that is, I think, quite difficult to understand. So the industry internationally a few years ago was estimated to be worth about $75 billion. So it's a big industry. In the US, it's reckoned there are about 300,000 women involved in stripping. Now, what women get in monetary reward for stripping can be almost nothing. If they can be in a club for hours and hours, and if they're not chosen, they will make nothing. But they still have to tip out the valets and the bouncers and other people within the club. They're treated as agents. They're not employees, so they get no wages. They get no benefits. So they can be, in some of the sort of small-town clubs that are not tremendously profitable, getting extremely little reward. Otherwise, in clubs that are more profitable, they're likely to get a bit more than the average wage of a woman from stripping. But they don't get lots of money. But of course, all the magazines say that you'll get $1,000 a night and so on to try and get the women involved in stripping. In terms of what happens in the clubs, well, there is very little research on precisely what happens. There's a good piece of research by a woman who was in stripping who talks about the harms women suffer from having dead rats thrown at them, cigarettes stamped out on them. She explains how in clubs in the States, women stand against a wall and lift one leg so men can stick their fingers up their vaginas, and they usually try to carry a cloth to try and make men's fingers slightly less dirty before they actually stick the fingers up them. Lap dancing is, of course, very normal in the clubs. And in lap dancing, a woman wriggles naked on the lap of a man who ejaculates while she's doing that, and the women find it very unpleasant to have to wriggle around in the semen of strange men. This lap dancing very generally takes place in private rooms, and in the private rooms, the men try and get away with as much as they possibly can. And it's certainly the case that acts of prostitution, the full forms of prostitution, take place in these clubs. Where they do not, arrangements are made so that men are able to meet the women outside the clubs. In Queensland, in Australia, the clubs actually make the arrangements for the men to be able to take the women out of the clubs to use them sexually, which is exactly the same system as in the Philippines. So I don't know why we should see what's going on in Western societies as somehow different and more respectable. What's happened with the normalization of the clubs is that all of the motifs of stripping have moved out into popular culture, particularly the pole that's used in pole dancing. And this has moved out into popular culture in many ways. It is now in music videos. It's promoted as a form of exercise. They're even speaking about, perhaps pole dancing should be at the Olympics. Pole dancing is seen as suitable for children in primary schools, and there are some primary schools that apparently are interested in or have adopted poles as a way of children being able to get exercise. Of course, the boys are not going around poles. The idea that boys should be doing pole dancing shows how absurd it is to think that this is some kind of gender-neutral form of exercise. So poles are now sold. And there are pole dancing classes. One of the things about stripping, as in other forms of prostitution in the sex industry, is that the women who go into it have usually not finished school and don't have very good qualifications. So the only way out of forms of the sex industry are to still be involved in it in some way. And the teaching of pole dancing is a way that women feel that they might be able to earn some money once they get out of stripping. So you've got all of these respectable matrons going to pole dancing classes in their local community centre or whatever, with no idea that they're connected with the sex industry and they're involved in acts of prostitution or connected with prostitution. They should know that. But for some reason, that has escaped people's understanding. So strip clubs in that way are involved in training generations of women and girls to be the sexual servicers of men as their exercise, as their form of communication, as what sex is, and so on, which is enormously harmful. And adds to the harms of pornography and the other ways in which the sex of prostitution is being normalised as what women should do. The gentlemen's clubs and strip clubs are being normalised in other ways which are very, very harmful to women's equality as well. In Australia, in America, in the UK, businesses, executives, do their deals through strip clubs. In fact, it's been estimated that in London, 80% of finance executives do deals in strip clubs. They take the Saudi princes there and everybody else that they're arranging deals with. So they do deals whilst looking into the naked and shaved and probably bleached anus of a woman in a strip club. So they do their deals through the degradation and use of women. Now, this is extremely normalised, and one of the things that I'm interested in is the way in which that behaviour of men is connected with the global financial crisis, of course, because it's exactly the same finance executives who took risks to create the meltdown of economies and all the very serious harms that have occurred for ordinary people as a result of that. And their way of making deals was very much through the bodies of women. So other corporations and firms are involved in this as well. And there's just ordinary car businesses and so on will use strip clubs as ways to reward their employees. Firms use strip clubs to do product launches. So the understanding is that women are completely not involved in this. So that women who are seeking advancement in the business or professional world are completely excluded. They can go to the clubs, feel deeply embarrassed and talk to the strippers whilst the men are roaring with laughter and having a good time and bonding through staring at women's anuses. Or they can refuse to go, or they don't get told about it, in which case they lose out on a great deal of business and cannot possibly get promotion. So that the sex industry in the form of strip clubs is an obstacle to the possibility of the equality of women. It creates a new glass ceiling for women. And if you look at the websites of the strip clubs, they offer gold cards. I always think of them, because I've been in a few strip clubs, as having furniture a bit like the business lounge at the airport. They're for businessmen. They have the sort of same leather armchair and hunting prints on the wall approach, but naked women on all the tables. Companies which are invited to have their meetings there will have women naked on the table at lunchtime, in the mid-afternoon and mid-morning break. And some of the strip clubs in Melbourne have got Doric columns to make them look tremendously respectable and just or even superior to an airport lounge. So business, men's organisation of business, has actually taken up the strip clubs and the sex industry as an important part of the way that it does business. There is trafficking of women into debt bondage in strip clubs. That's been identified in Canada and in the US in particular. And in fact, in some countries, Canada was one of those, and Japan too, there were special visas for exotic dancers. Canada, a few years ago, had to stop that because feminists were pointing out that it was a form of trafficking. There were women being trafficked in from countries like Moldova, Eastern Europe, and other places into the strip clubs. Japan had a similar system, an exotic entertainer's visa, and I think that's been rescinded as well as a result of feminist efforts. So in those cases, and I'm sure there are other cases internationally, governments are directly involved in making the trade of women into the clubs happen. So there was nothing secret about it.
This is the use of our tax dollars.
Absolutely, because states which encourage, legalize, or tolerate the sex industry in the forms of pornography and stripping and so on, as I understand it, are pimp states. They are actually providing women for men's entertainment and abuse in order to get them on side, in order to get their votes. Patriarchal states are involved in instantiating sex industries specifically for their male citizens. The women are abused in those industries, and the status of all other women is very much affected by the existence of those industries, but it is a practice of patriarchal states which fortunately now is being very much challenged, and feminists intend to bring to an end.
What's the role of the strip club in the general society? How does that affect the ordinary person?
Strip clubs affect ordinary women in that they offer, according to the research that's been done on the men who go into those clubs, a form of compensation to the men for women's equality. There is research which shows that men who work in offices say that they're really fed up because their new boss is a woman. They can go to a strip club and they get all their old-fashioned, very brutal old-fashioned men's privileges, which is being able to have women basically performing as sex slaves in front of them. There's men who have rows with their wives, are able to go to the strip clubs and compensate themselves because they may have a woman who wants an equal relationship, but they're able to always undermine her. And in fact, there was an advertisement for a strip club in Texas, which shows precisely how this operates. The advertisement on television for the strip club said to the men, "Take your balls back." And in the advertisement, the man sort of forces the wife to give him the keys so he can open a cupboard and take his balls back and go to the strip clubs, right? It's a compensation to men. I call it the sex industry in many of its forms of the present as being the outsourcing of women's subordination. There may be some women who are gaining forms of equality in Western societies in particular, but men are able to get a compensation for that by outsourcing their subordination to other women in the sex industry, often other women from poor countries who are trafficked in or through sex tourism or the mail order bride industry and so on. So the status of women and the possibility of women's equality is very much undermined.
What should we as women be doing about this, Sheila?
Feminists are only just beginning to get organised around strip clubs. The group Object in Britain has been very active because in the UK there was a situation where every corner pub was starting to turn itself into a strip club and there was no regulation of this. And they actually got a legal victory which said that councils could actually control whether the pubs were able to be strip clubs or not. I mean, the interesting thing about strip clubs is that they are legal just about everywhere except Iceland. The wonderful new lesbian feminist socialist prime minister in Iceland a couple of years ago made strip clubs illegal, prohibited strip clubs, as well as penalising the buyers in prostitution. So that was a wonderful initiative. That's really the gold standard towards which we can aim. But strip clubs are under the radar. They function very much in the way that brothels do, although not exactly the same way, in ordinary streets, and they are entirely legal. And indeed, they have advertising which demeans women on the streets. They mark out parts of cities as places where women cannot go, where you have a number of strip clubs together. It's dangerous because men mill about and are quite violent outside those strip clubs. The organized crime leads to shootings. We had a shooting in Melbourne a couple of years back where bikies are involved in providing the security and running with organized crime, the strip clubs. And the bikie was beating up a woman outside the strip club who was a stripper, and two men came to her aid, 8:30 in the morning. They were shot, and one of the men, a young solicitor with a family, died. There have also been other shootings outside the strip clubs. So as soon as you normalise the sex industry, you're putting onto the ordinary streets of the city very serious forms of abuse and organised crime. So areas of the cities are shut off from women. We as citizens lose our right to walk in certain areas because they're made over to men for their purposes.
So should we be picketing them? Should we be going to City Hall?
I think, first of all, it's important to try and prevent the spread of strip clubs because, of course, there is a move for strip clubs to go out from so-called red light areas into ordinary suburbs and be on every main street. So it's important that citizens actually lobby their councils and local government to try and ensure that that does not happen. But we also need good legislation as much as possible to close down strip clubs. I think one thing that's important is actually forbidding alcohol in strip clubs, because in a situation where women are being abused and men are becoming inebriated, they're not only dangerous to those women, but they're dangerous to the women on the street outside once they walk outside those strip clubs. And once you get rid of the liquor licenses, it's very much less profitable and it's less likely that the strip clubs will be set up. So there's a variety of ways in which we can work to reduce them and close them down. And it's very important that we do that.
What about the fact, Sheila, that some feminists are actually in favour of these strip clubs and see them as a form of sexual liberation and that we should be supporting the women dancers inside?
I think that it shows the power of the forces of male domination, that it is possible for women to make the argument that they choose to be degraded and humiliated and have their clothes stripped off them. And it's an extraordinary situation where women are prepared to defend what is clearly a practice of subordination. There are not clubs in which the same thing is done to men. I know some people would say, well, there's an equivalent, but there is no equivalent. In fact, in the places where women go along to watch men supposedly strip, apparently the women roar with laughter and have a wonderful time. They are not staring into the anuses of individual men. And in fact, there have been occasions in Melbourne where the men have grabbed women, taken them up on stage and been violent to them as well. So that's a completely different situation from what's done to the women. And I think that what's happening now is that there is a wave of protest. We've got a whole new wave of feminism forming in all Western countries, mainly young women, but some older women are coming back in and becoming outraged by the way in which the sex industry is structuring their lives, structuring what women may wear, how they have sex, what entertainment is, the way they're seen in the street, and so on. All of this has an immense effect on women's lives, and there's a rising wave of anger. So I think this argument that some women make that they personally feel empowered or it could be empowering is not going to win out against this rising wave of anger. It's not possible to maintain certain forms of the sex industry because some women say that they actually like that, when the huge harms to the majority of women involved and to all other women are so egregious.
Would you agree that there's a connection between the rise of pornography in the strip clubs and the degradation, sexual degradation of women, and the rise of militarism and the loss of the gains that we made in the 60s and 70s? Is there any connection there?
I have written about the way in which militarism is connected with the development of forms of prostitution. Particularly, there are connections, of course, between the ways in which the US military used certain countries in Asia, Thailand as rest and recreation, the Philippines in the same way, and the construction of the trafficking in women and prostitution industries. In Australia, where more than half of the women in prostitution are now reported in a new study to have been trafficked, meaning they are in debt bondage, they didn't get there under their own steam with their own money, and they mostly cannot speak the language, and they're the poorest and most vulnerable of women, so they're certainly trafficked. The majority of them used to be from Thailand, and now it's increasingly from Korea. So you see the results of that colonialism and the military construction of prostitution. Wherever militaries go, the construction of prostitution is absolutely fundamental to the way in which they operate. Militaries understand the importance of this because through prostitution, men gain their manhood. They gain their masculinity, which gives them supposedly their fighting force. Through the abuse of women and being able to distinguish themselves from the subordinate women that they use, they are supposed to gain the manhood, which will allow them to go out and kill people that they do not know. So that's really been terribly important, and we now have the phenomenon where UN peacekeepers are doing this. UN peacekeepers in Cambodia, for instance, created a huge prostitution industry where there was really not very much prostitution before. In East Timor, peacekeepers are involved in setting up prostitution industries. It happened in Bosnia, Herzegovina, Kosovo. So unfortunately, peacekeepers, because they are militaries, create exactly the same problems. And as they set up these prostitution industries, they disrupt those communities and create huge problems, not just for the women that they are using, but for the relations between men and women in the communities in which this takes place. So unfortunately, all the ways in which men bond together and create powerful forces are very much involved with the sex industry, whether it's corporations or the military. Prostitution is crucial to them all.
Yeah, and I think you would agree that we would have to include these security companies now that are watching mines and that are replacing the US military in places like Iraq.
I'm sure security companies will be involved in exactly the same problems. As development takes place, as mines are opened up, for instance, prostitution industries are always set up around them. That's happened in Papua New Guinea over the last century as the mines have been developed in the Solomon Islands. Prostitution industries are set up through logging, by Malaysian logging companies. They're set up around the trawlers that are coming in to collect fish. All of the industries of development set up prostitution industries and destroy local communities. But as yet, there is no understanding of this. Oxfam has produced ideas about ethical development. They include nothing about prostitution as yet. There is no understanding of the crucial role of prostitution in connection with development. After all, a lot of the men involved in development are away from home, and so the assumption is that prostitution industry should be created.
This is Rosemary Wally with Laura Yaris in Montreal.